Has transportation been a topic for you since you took over as Doñana County Clerk?
You know, it has been in more of a general way. Specific to the pandemic, it hasn't. I don't disagree with anything, Carrie has said. And in terms of, my perspective is, I welcome feedback. Even if you're not thrilled with certain things, that's okay, because we're on the same page in terms of access. And if there's an issue and there's a barrier, I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm not going to say, well, actually, no, that's not that way. Or we're going to say, okay, let's figure this out. Let's figure out where those barriers are. So I'd be very supportive of a comprehensive transportation plan on Election Day. But I would also say it would also help if it wasn't just on Election Day, if it included early voting. Because I think of, waiting, early voting really did decrease the spread, because less people over a larger amount of time participated every single day. And so that created less crowds on Election Day. So promoting early voting, I think, is going to be something that we need to do, as well as create more resources for people that maybe have the confusion. One of the confusions that people had that I heard feedback about was they thought the application was the ballot. And so some of them, when they got the application, they kind of set it aside and didn't fill it out because they didn't know it wasn't the ballot. And when it came time to fill it out, they realized it wasn't, and then that was problematic. So, all of these things we're taking in and definitely, putting them in that big file of, we call it an election postmortem, where we sit down and we figure out, okay, what can we do to improve next time?
And how did this pandemic affect you as a candidate?
So, me as a candidate, I have, like Carrie, I've known Carrie for many years. And I think we're both active community members, but we're both new candidates, right? So I did, I use the phone a lot. I talk to voters a lot. The thing that I could do as the county clerk is I could also offer information about absentees. So when I heard feedback, and it was also, I was calling to see if I could offer any assistance, for sure. I did town halls. I did a couple of town halls, each of them an hour long. I tried to be as active on social media as I could be. I think I'm not necessarily a natural campaigner, but I'm a very social person, so I would try to marry those two things together. I did well in my elections. I think that worked. But what it looks like in the next coming months, I think we're probably going to sit back, candidates collectively, probably within the parties, and figure out how we're going to all move forward. I enjoyed it. I enjoy people. I enjoy talking to, members of our community about the office and what we could do better and what they were happy with. I always say, compliments, critiques, and are both welcome, because I heard a lot of great feedback about my staff and how hard they were working. And I know they literally worked, 19 hours a day on Tuesday alone. And that doesn't account for the last month in which they've been furiously trying to meet all the deadlines for voters to make sure that they had their needs met.
At what point in the night, on election night, do you decide, we are calling it, we're going to come back here in the morning and continue our count tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. So I think we have to see how much is it an hour's work ahead of us? Can we ballpark it and figure? One of a misconception that many people has is they think that the clerk's office does the tabulating and the processing of absentee ballots, and it's actually an appointed board that does it. So really, we check with them and to see where they're at, and ultimately, we support them if they think that they're going to have two more hours and it's 9 p.m., well, that's not an issue. If it's midnight and they're looking at another 3 or 4 hours of work, then that's a problem.
I can't.
I think I read in.
I was just going to say, I can't personally count after midnight.
Well, and that's the issue, right? You want to make sure you're doing a good job and you're diligent with every single thing that you're handling, because it's something that's literally priceless. It's somebody's vote. So to be have as much energy you can, it is impossible at midnight. I do know, I believe I read one of the newspapers, I think it was the Santa Fe New Mexican, that I think Taos County was there till 4 a.m. and we still had to come back the next day. So, I trusted the absentee board as well as Lindsay Bachman, chief deputy clerk, with a decision. I understand that they decided to call it at about 1 a.m.
How many people are on that absentee board?
Approximately 12.
And are they, do they apply for that position or how are they chosen?
Sure. So we have a portal on our website that if you're interested in positions, now if you're interested in a position that's not just election day, there's a whole IHR process that you have to go through, right? So if you're working early voting or on the absentee board, you're working more than just election day, then there's more of a formal process. If you're just doing election day, then it's a less formal process, but both involve training that we are required to give.
I don't imagine that claims of fraud will ever be a thing of the past because it will there will always be claims of fraud. But what do you say to folks who were very concerned in this type of situation and didn't want to send their vote by mail because they were afraid of fraud?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what I will say is that I was very fortunate to get a great education at New Mexico State University that included a PhD that was research-based. So when I first started in the clerk's office, one of the first things I did was I started researching and really looking at nonpartisan educational areas connected to what voter fraud was. And what I found was really encouraging to me personally as a voter is that does voter fraud happen? Yes, it does. But it is so rare that it is almost, you know, not even measurable in data. Now, anytime anyone is concerned about voter fraud, and especially if they have specific information, they should let their county clerk know. Nobody in your entire county is more against voter fraud than the county clerk. We are the one that are in charge of the process. We are invested in the process. We do everything we can to make elections fair and accessible and have integrity. So, you know, I know that my staff does an amazing job. I believe in the election officials that are literally our front line. And I know the process is secure and that New Mexico has great elections. Now, I've worked in fields like healthcare. I've worked in mental health. I've worked in the educational system. We have challenges in New Mexico connected to those things. We always talk about the list, right? We're on the bottom of this list and we're on the bottom of that list and we're always working at getting higher. I will tell you, New Mexico is arguably in the top five in how we administer elections because we follow all of the best practices. And so the biggest battle that I have had as the clerk has been to fight misinformation that disenfranchises people because it leads them to believe that there is something wrong with our system, and there is not. Now, if anybody ever has information connected to something they're concerned about, they should they should report it to our office, the Secretary of State's office, or the Attorney General. We have reported people that we had concerns about to the district attorney, and I will do that every single time because they need to investigate it, and if there is something fraudulent going on, we need to find that out, and we need to weed it out. But I firmly believe that New Mexico does a great job in elections, and, you know, misinformation is also really unfortunate, but it's also voter suppression because anytime that we are telling people that there's something wrong with the system, we're discouraging them from participating. And that is something that our office will continue to battle and fight, and because I know we're on the right side of it.
What is the process of tracking your ballot involved so that if you do mail it in and you want to make sure it gets there, what do you do?
Well, so Casey, let's say you get online on April 15th and you apply for that absentee ballot for the May 5th first day you could get your ballot. Once you apply online and we accept you in our system, you've offered, you know, very specific information that only you have, right? Mm-hmm. And so we issue you a ballot. Now, your ballot has a barcode on it. It is only for Casey Counts. It is not for anyone else. It is Casey Counts' ballot. We also know in our system that we have an outstanding ballot for you. So and this has happened. Some people have forgotten that they applied for an absentee and they walked up to a voting location and they said, oh, you know, I want to vote, and we will look in our system and go, ah, you have an outstanding ballot. And so then we would, and let's say you didn't want to vote that way, right? You wanted to vote in person. Well, we'd issue you a provisional, and then on the other end, we would make sure that you just have one vote, right? But the barcode is helpful in that when it's on the exterior, when we scan it in, we know when we've received it, so you're able to look at the portal on the Secretary of State's website, and then you're able to track it that way. When was your ballot sent to you? When was your ballot received by us? If there's a big lag in time between those two, you need to give us a call so we can assist you. And I know that happened a couple weeks ago, somebody called me specifically. I sent it. I don't know what the problem is. It should have gotten there. And so really, I think 3 weeks had passed. And so what we did was we issued them a replacement, and that meant that their initial ballot was no longer valid, right? So, you know, technology is an amazing thing in a lot of ways. And so we're able to track things to the very detail, which is helpful for us, and it's helpful for voters.
646-2212. That's 575-646-2212 to be a part of Voice of the Public with Doñana County Clerk Dr. Amanda Lopez-Askin, who is here to answer your questions that you might want to. I'm not going to do it this time, I promise. We're not going to be asking Amanda any questions. I can't help it. I just can't help it. But please be a part with us of the show here or on Facebook. A lot of folks are chiming in on Facebook, and we thank you for listening and streaming us and being a part of it on social media. But again, that telephone number, 646-2212, and it looks like we have Al on the line. Al, good afternoon. What is your question?
My question is, since there are forces, political forces, that want to eliminate absentee ballots, what happens if they are eliminated? And can they do that? Can they eliminate them?
So, hi, Al. Thank you for your question. It sounds like I'm thinking you like the absentee option. What we know is that voters really love options. Some people like to vote in person. Some people like to vote by mail. Some people like to vote in person on election day or early voting. You know, in New Mexico, we have a Secretary of State leading the way who wants to see more people participate. And for more people to participate, we have to have more options for every part of our community. So based on the leadership of the Secretary of State and the support of, I think, probably quite a few clerks, as well as the legislature, I don't believe we are at risk for absentee ballots. Also, the military and overseas people, they vote by mail. They have voted by mail for many years. It's something that they count on. And serving our country, they believe they have every right to do, and it's a secure process for them as well. So I'm not, there's always political forces trying to affect policy and how people vote. What I believe is that in New Mexico, we have firm leadership in place that is protecting a person's right to vote and the ways that they're able to do it.
Yeah. Kevin is next up. Hi, good afternoon, Kevin. You're on Voice of the Public. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi. Thank you. First of all, I want to say I enjoy the show, and I think our county clerk is doing a fantastic job in managing our elections. My question is, I sent in an absentee ballot, and I was able to see that it was received by the clerk's office, but I'd like to know, is there a way to tell if it was accepted? I know that you're looking at the signatures and making sure that they match with your signatures on file, but as I have gotten older, I've noticed my signature has been deteriorating.
And thank you actually for your words. I know I'm the clerk, but I also have such a great team that work tirelessly for our community. That, you know, I'm just a reflection of them, but we definitely appreciate the vote of confidence from our public. And so I actually had somebody call me a couple of months ago who was, you know, had was not going to be able to vote in person for health issues. But they also had suffered a stroke, and their signature had been affected greatly. And so they were concerned about that. So we do verify signature. You know, I think that also we verify, you know, we look at all the other things on the exterior of the envelope. We have not had an issue with that. And if there is, we set it aside, and it may go for review to the, you know, to the judicial. I call it the judicial board. It's not. It's basically the precinct board. But if your signature is on there, we're very, very happy it is, because that means that, you know, signature is always a non-negotiable. It has to be on the absentee ballot. But I have heard that from voters, and I think we do understand that. I also think that, you know, we have to recognize that there are things like that that happen for individuals. And I think there is space in how we review them to do that. If your ballot is not, for whatever reason, if it's disqualified, you would receive a notification from our office that that was the case, and we would let you know why. And at that point, you know, you could have a discussion with us or connected to what your signature looked like. And if you wanted to change your, you wanted to renew your voter registration, you could do that as well.
Can you say how long it would be before someone would find out that that was the case?
You know, right now, people think somehow that like, election day is we're done, but there's a huge process that happens afterwards, including the canvas. You know, I talked about the provisional ballots, and we see making sure that people voted just once. That is what's happening right now. That's what the staff is doing right now, is they are doing what we call the post-election canvas, which is really an audit. And so they'll be doing, I did it all day yesterday, and that's to make sure everything is accounted for at every single site, that everything, you know, is all the details are exactly how they should be. And if they're not, they need to figure out what, you know, what the story is for any particular detail is not. And so next week, the staff would start working on those. But if we received it, it's very, very likely that your vote has been tabulated. We would let you know.
Do you have a sense for how often ballots do end up getting rejected? Is that something that's common?
So the absentee ballot board, again, they're the ones that, you know, move forward the absentee ballots. Now, you have to understand the process of an absentee ballot is lengthy, which is why we have these lag times sometimes on election night. If you can imagine that you have a board looking at the exterior of the envelope, making sure the signature is there, scanning it in, making sure the signature is there, opening an envelope, opening a separate envelope, separating the two to maintain the privacy of the voters' vote, and then start. So if you have 13,000 times you're doing that, you can imagine it's a lengthy time, right? And because we have to look in our system for each one takes a great amount of time. So, you know, there are times when they are not qualified. And when I say the signature is a non-negotiable, I mean, that would be an absentee ballot would be disqualified for a lack of signature. And, you know, kudos to the absentee boards all across the state, because they have a heavy, heavy, heavy lift this year, like probably some of them never had before. We experienced it in 2018, and I think a lot of them are experiencing now. I'm hoping Santa Fe will be done today with their initial count, right? We finished the day after, and I don't think many of the results changed, but they're not done yet. I think they had 5,000 to go. So, you know, I'm definitely thinking about them today and know how stressful it is, because there's people that are waiting for those results literally on pins and needles.
Yeah. We only have about 9 minutes to go. I can't believe how fast this hour has evaporated. So if you still have a question.
Elections are exciting, Casey.
Yeah, and so much to discuss. And for a primary, which normally would be, you know, there wouldn't be so much attention, as much attention on a primary on many of our part, certainly on your part it would be. But for many of us, we just wouldn't be talking that much about a primary election. They do tend to bring a much lower voter turnout. Would you say that the absentee process or the mailing in ballots as a greater option affected voter turnout in the end?
Right. So let's say you're somebody that maybe wasn't planning on participating in the primary, and you're like, oh, you know what, I'll wait till November. That's kind of what I'm more worried about or more invested in. And you received an application, you might go ahead and just fill it out and say, why not, right? Like, oh, the application came to my home. I'm going to fill it out and return it. And then we will generate a ballot for you, assuming that your application is accepted. So that probably accounted for some of it. I think the greater arena of politics and what's going on in our world seems to have people more interested and invested in leadership, and also the discussions about how local leadership is really vital too. So there was more interest in some of the primary races as well. You know, so I think at the end, you know, I said something on Tuesday, very specific. You know, you may not want to go to a restaurant right now because of the pandemic, but you may be willing to risk it to vote, and that would be understandable to anyone. So I think all those factors played into it and then created, you know, we had about 26,000 people in Doñana County participate. If I was to compare that to 2018, there was approximately, I think, 17,000. And if I went back to 2016, there was 20,000. So there was a significant increase in participation overall in Doñana County. 6,000 people decided to vote in this primary in 2020 versus in 2016, which was the last presidential year. And so I think that is something that tells us 2020 is going to be, well, we're in 2020, but the election, the general election in 2020 is going to be potentially historic in terms of turnout.
646-2212. If you have a last-minute question for Dr. Amanda Lopez Askin, the Doñana County Clerk, we've just got about 6 minutes to go, so please get your call in now, or if you have a question and you're following along on social media, we're certainly happy to address that. I'm following along. Welcome, Steve and Claudia and Chiquis and Mary Kay. Thank you very much for watching on Facebook. We are glad to have you along. And there were a couple of topics, and one, you know, that you touched on earlier, technology in general and how it's going to affect, it's affected our whole lives in so many ways, but how it's going to affect elections in the future. What are the discussions like in terms of online voting?
You know, somebody mentioned it to me for the first time just a couple of days ago, and it has not been something that has been introduced to me at all. I've not seen anything on the national stage connected to online voting. So I wouldn't even venture to have a comment other than this is something that that's news to me. And I don't, again, because I'm a researcher, I would have to research to the nth degree what that would look like and mean. It's not something that I can even comment on at this point. I know,
sure.
You know, Colorado is really successful because they have kind of a hybrid system where they have, you know, polling location, drop boxes, mail voting as well, all of these options. And Colorado has near, I think, a 70% turnout.
Wow.
Right. So we want New Mexico to participate. You know, I always say that we're better for the entire community is better when we are all participating, because that's basically saying we have more of a say in who's leading our community. And that can only benefit everyone. And so, you know, I'm all for more options. And, you know, the options that Colorado has are safe, secure, and the voters in Colorado are very happy with them, as Oregon has all mail, Hawaii, you know, Utah. I mean, there are states that are leading the way. Mm-hmm. I know, frankly, just based on feedback, that we you know, we have some infrastructure that we have to make sure that are in place before we can move forward on anything like that. But, you know, I'm focused on November and making sure voters are taken care of in person in November and by mail, however they would choose to vote. So I guess my bottom line on online, it's not something that I've even necessarily mm-hmm. heard of or researched, and so mm-hmm. that's relatively new topic for me.
One just seems logical that it would be something in our very near future, but not without its own security concerns, for sure.
Right.
speaking of making voting, you know, available to more people and having more people participate, do you think that open primaries, you know, would be a potential for New Mexico?
Yes, I do think it'll probably be something that comes up. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes up again and again if it's not successful. I think I heard from a lot of very irate, I know I did, people who are DTS. Mm-hmm. We call them DTS because that's how in our system they're called decline to state, otherwise known as independents. They were not happy that they didn't mm-hmm. have a say. Mm-hmm. And one made a very good point. I'm a taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for this election. And I said, I don't disagree with you. These are the rules and we have to follow the election code. But should that change, that person would be able to participate. And the reality is the first stage of the election, it's a primary, which is a nomination process for November, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just getting to who's going to be on the ballot in November, which is really a nomination process. And that person who is a DTS or an independent will be able to participate in that second leg of it. So, you know, there's those routes of thought that would actually invite more people into the process and be better for you know, participation overall.
Just a couple of minutes to go. 646-2212. This is Voice of the Public on KRWG, running an election during a pandemic. Our guest, Dr. Amanda Lopez Askin, the Doñana County Clerk, and we've covered so much information so far. And thank you for spending your time to be here today. And one other thing I wanted to touch on is a lot of people, and we've talked a little bit about how November might look, but let's talk about the nuts and bolts of getting people registered who maybe aren't registered and didn't register in time for this primary, and what do they need to know in order to be ready to go in November?
Well, you know, normally I would say come to our office and we'd be happy to register. You have people that are very excited when we have new registrants come in, if you've moved from another place, et cetera, but we're not open yet, right? So, again, we are dealing with the consequences of the pandemic. NM Vote is a vital resource for voters in general. I know when I first accessed nmvote.org, I was able to look at how many years I had participated in elections. And so this will age me, but that's okay. I've been voting since 1992, and I could literally see all the years I have voted. And quite frankly, that was almost like looking at a great credit report. I just felt very proud of myself, you know, because it was something that has been instilled in me since I could vote and how important it is. But you can also do things like register to vote, change your address, confirm the information you have on file is correct. You know, we had people that didn't know that for some reason maybe they had pressed the wrong button at the MVD and had removed themselves from a party. I've had a lot of those, quite frankly, say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. So just confirm your information, nmvote.org. And especially if you're around young people that maybe, oh, they're not quite there, they don't necessarily want to go, They can get online, they can get on their smartphone, and they can head to NM Vote, they can register, and they would have some enhanced identification, you know, that would be required. And they ask for, you know, very specific information. But I think it's a great system, and I would encourage anybody to use it far and wide.
And if they have questions specifically for the Doniana County Clerk's Office, how do they reach you?
Sure, you can always call us at 575-647-7421, or you can email us at elections@doniana.org. You can head to our webpage and also click on a button if you're not writing this down, but and ask a general question to elections, and we have people in the different areas that will be happy to get back to you.
Congratulations,
so, you know,
once again, on your win. It was certainly a landslide win for Dr. Amanda Lopez Askin. We'll be serving a full term as Doniana County Clerk, so I know we'll be talking again. We appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey.
And you have been listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG, Coronavirus Update, running an election during a pandemic. We thank you for joining us. This is KC Counts. It's great to be back on the air here at KRWG, and I'll see you this afternoon for All Things Considered.